Thank God. Well, let's turn to John 14:16. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, or about being led by the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, about the Holy Spirit today. John 14:16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you, and or dwells with you and will be in you." He says, Jesus says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper," which we have today. We have the Holy Spirit in us today. He's with us. What Jesus said has come to pass, and we're here, and we have the greatest, the most powerful being in the universe dwelling with us, dwelling in us. The one that was the power behind creating the worlds is with us. And this is familiar, but we're going to read it in the Amplified. In verse 16, it says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever." The one that created the universe, that comforter, if we need comfort, he's there to comfort us. If we need counsel, like we've said, if we need counsel in any area, wisdom in any area, God Almighty is there to help us and to be our counselor, the greatest counselor that we could ever have, the one that knows all. He's our helper in everything. You know, if we need help, the Bible calls him a helper. I mean, so many times we think, boy, if I could just, you know, we see somebody on TV or we read about somebody, boy, if I could just hire somebody like that, or I had the resources. This is a thought I think many of us have sometimes. You know, if we had the resources somebody else had and had at our disposal, you know, I could just hire the best. You name the area. I'm doing this thing, boy, if I could just hire, had that money and the resources just to hire the best lawyer in this situation, or the best doctors, or, you know, the best whatever. If I were a king, or I were somebody that was really wealthy, I would just have access to all these things, and boy, life would be so much better. And as Christians, we have access to the King of the universe. And these things, I mean, when you read these words, we're not left helpless in any way, shape, or form as a Christian. He said he is our counselor. He is infinitely wiser than any person on the face of the earth. He has been around forever. He's seen every tactic of man. Plus, he knows everything that's going on. And he said he's our counselor. When we go to him, it's not like we get somebody's opinion. You know, there were kings in the Old Testament that had, they went to counselors, and those counselors could be good counselors or they could be bad counselors. And some counselors turned on the kings. You know, there was where they give counsel that they thought was good, but it was wrong, and they were kings. But we have the counselor that is never wrong, never gives unwise counsel, knows exactly what he's saying. He's not doing it for the money. He's not doing it for pride. He's doing it. He gives true counsel every time, and he knows everything involved. He knows your party. He knows opposite party. He knows your life, where you're going. He knows where you came from. He knows everything, and he's our counselor. Not only that, he's our helper. When we need help, again, we don't have to say, well, I wish I really had this person. He'll make sure if we have the helper, the King of the universe, the Holy One, the Holy Spirit on our side helping us, he'll make sure we get all the natural help we need. He'll make sure if we'll just follow him, if we'll just look to him and trust that he is, in fact, the helper, then if we look to him, he'll bring the natural things to us that we need because he's a helper. He'll bring us, if we need somebody in the natural that's going to speak, you know, certain things to us, he'll bring that person to us. If we need books, or we need other materials, or we need a certain, you know, plan or whatever, he'll give us the help that we need. He is our helper and our intercessor. He stands in for us, our advocate, our strengthener. When we need strength, you know, sometimes it's so tempting to think, oh, we're getting weak, or we need, boy, I'm just getting worn down. When we get it in us that he is our strengthener, the one that never runs out of strength, the one that is, he's in us. You know, over there in, in the New Testament, Was it in Romans? It says that he quickens our mortal bodies. In Romans, what, 11? What am I thinking of? 8:11. Yeah. Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The spirit of God. The spirit of God dwells in us and he quickens our mortal bodies. He gives life to our mortal bodies. He is the king of the universe, the very life giver, and he's the one that's quickening us. If he's quickening us, then it's supernatural. Somebody said like this, you know, I was asked, how much sleep do you need? How much sleep do you go on at night? And he gave a number, but he said, I do know this, the more time I spend with God, the less sleep I need. And there's something that we got to take care of our bodies and be wise. But there is something about that. And I've noticed that the more in tune we are with God, there's something that quickens our body. There's something that just gives life. And Brother Hagin would say that when we need strength, we look to him. Sometimes the natural looks like we're going to be worn out, you know, at night or whatever. And Brother Hagin would go all night doing certain things, but he would say, I just trust God to quicken my body. And God's our strengthener. He's our helper. But he strengthens our body. We look to him to be strong because he's our strengthener. He is our strengthener mentally as well. If we don't feel like we're up to a task, he's our strengthener. We look to him and we take these words at face value and just say, hey, God, you're my strengthener. I expect strength right now. And he's our standby. He's the one that's always there. He's the one that's always right there for us. He doesn't ever leave us. He never forsakes us. He never goes away. He never gives up on us. He's our standby. You know, when you have, you know, a stereo like this, it goes to where it can be on standby. That means it doesn't have to power up everything. You know, you're like your laptop or something. You don't have to power up everything. You just push the button and it's back. That's the way Holy Spirit is. He's always there. He's always on standby for us, always with us. So let's read it in the New King James again before we go on. It says, so Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you, or he dwells with you and will be in you. So that another helper, he's our comforter, our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener and standby. And it says that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. Now let's go down a few verses into John 16:13. John 16:13. It says, however, Jesus is speaking, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So it says the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth, what is right, what is correct, what is eternal, and he will guide us into all truth. If we'll take him at his word and know that this greater one, this counselor, helper, etc., that he is the Spirit of truth, and if we'll just look to him and say, I have the Spirit of truth dwelling in me. So the Spirit of truth is leading me in my life. The Spirit of truth is guiding me where I need to go. And it says that he will lead us into all truth. In the word, in our lives, when we have a problem and we don't know, you know, we can be in a problem and say, Lord, what is the answer here? What is the truth here? What is the root here? What am I dealing with here? He's there to lead us into all truth. He's there to lead us and to guide us and to show us what is truth in any given situation. When we're dealing with, you know, relationships or something where we don't know exactly what is the problem here. Is it me? You know, is it the other person? I don't know. I mean, job situations, whatever, where we, you know, we don't see clearly all the time. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. We may think, you know, from our perspective, this situation looks a certain way, but what we really want is not to make it look like we're right or the other person's wrong or they're right and we're wrong, but we really want truth. And God is there to bring truth, that if, hey, if there's a situation that I need, I'm not seeing it correctly. From my perspective, it looks like this, but God, you know all truth. Guide me and show me what the real truth is here so that I can walk where you have me or where you want me to walk. I want the truth. And that's what the Holy Spirit is meant to do, is to lead us into all truth. We have such a gift in the fact that God Almighty has put His Spirit inside of us, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we walk around, the Holy Spirit is walking with us, and that He is so much more concerned with us being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, than even we are. I mean, sometimes we think we have to drag it out of Him. Well, lead me, guide me. No, He is leading us and guiding us. He wants us in a certain place. His whole plan all over the earth is to have people doing certain things. He has people that need to be reached, people that need help, whatever. And if all of us just line up with what He's doing, everything will get done. But He wants it more than even we want it. And He's given us the tools and the equipment to get it done. And the Holy Spirit is just a major, major part of that. We are not left helpless. So let's turn over to James 1:5, his familiar passage. So if we do need anything, then this scripture in James is familiar. But let's go back to verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials," when you fall, as we all do, stuff comes to every one of us, "knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom," so we're going to have things come into our lives, we're going to have trials, we're not going to know everything, our faith is going to be tested, like, you know, we talked about last week. But the testing of our faith produces patience. "Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect," or mature, "and complete, lacking nothing." And then he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you needs wisdom in a certain point, we've come into something that we need wisdom, we need to know what to do. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And then it tells us, what is God? It gives us an attribute of God there. It said, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It's like a sidebar there. He says, let him ask of God. So you could read it like this without the sidebar. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given to him. But he says, as a sidebar, in this situation and in all situations, he says, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He's not just talking about wisdom. He's saying this is God. One of God's characteristics is that he gives to all liberally and without reproach. He gave Jesus. He gives wisdom. He gives health. He gives abundance in all areas. He gives liberally and without reproach because we are his children. We are human beings. He knows we aren't perfect. He knows we need things. He knows we're going to fall into the various trials and everything. So he doesn't look at us like, you know, please, you're asking me for something. No, you know, you shouldn't really be asking that. You don't need that. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us all these things. He's given liberally and without reproach. And he's saying, if you need it, ask. If you need something, ask. Another place it says, you know, you have not because you ask not. So if we need wisdom, God is always talking to us, but if we need wisdom in a certain area, we can go to God and say, look, I need this. Show me. Thank you, God, that you're showing me what to do in this area. And he says that God, that it will be given to us. And so it's faith, like any other area at that point, that if we ask for something, God said that if we ask, he'll give it to us. So then at that point, if we've asked, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. I know you've given me the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask you for wisdom in this situation. It says that it will be given to us. So at that point, we act like it's given to us. And we just start moving along saying, God, you have promised me wisdom. You've said that you've given me the spirit of truth. You've said you've given me this counselor, this helper. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. So I expect to be led right now, and I am led. And we walk on expecting God to lead us, and then we go by peace and go forward and expect that what God is leading us, guiding us, showing us, and that he's going to show up. Even so, at that point, it's faith. Like it is every other area, like if you were believing for healing, which we've heard a lot about that if you believe and you receive healing for a certain area, that it doesn't matter what it looks like, then you believe you're healed. So when we ask for wisdom, we believe that we have wisdom in this situation, that God is not going to withhold, that even if we don't know what to do, God is leading us, he's guiding us, that he has given us wisdom. He is giving us wisdom. And when we do that, we are pulling from the Holy Spirit and expecting to be led, and that's faith. And I mean, to begin with, to believe you're being led by God is faith anyway. He's going to lead us regardless. But when you're actively looking to him and being led, you're looking to the Holy Spirit and expecting him that he'll lead us. And so he said then in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, which is what we're just saying, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I don't think that's like a hard statement. I mean, it could be taken like a hard statement. He's just speaking a truth that if we say that, Lord, I believe what your word says. I believe that the Holy Spirit is here to be my counselor, advocate, all these things, my helper. So I'm coming to you for wisdom. But then, you know, we don't feel like anything's changed. We don't feel like we're getting anywhere. So then we go and say, I don't know what's going on. I have no clue what to do in this situation. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to do here. This is confusing me. We just totally throw ourselves into a corner at that point. We're out of faith. We're getting pushed over here and saying, I don't know what to do, though. It doesn't look like anything's happening. What's going on? And then if we go back and say, oh, but God said that I'm being led. So then we go back over here and we're believing, but then still we don't see anything changing, or it doesn't look like God's leading us, or we feel like maybe we made a misstep. So then we come back over here and say, well, gosh, what is going on? I thought I prayed. I thought God was supposed to be leading me. And that's what we're doing. We're vacillating. And if we do that, the fact is God is going to do his best to help us because he's our Father, but we don't really believe that he's helping us. So even if he's showing us something, we don't have the confidence to believe that what we're hearing inside is him, and that he'll do what he said, and that we have a helper and we have a counselor, and that he is leading us. We are being led by sight or by feelings or whatever, so we're going like this, just like a wave, like he talked about. And then James says, don't ask that way, ask in faith. Believe that God is good enough, that he gave Jesus, number one, so that we could have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that we're recreated. He has done all this super heavy lifting of all these world-changing things for billions of people. But then in our life, we think that he can't get us our answer because of something that doesn't look right. And that's what we do. And we tend to vacillate. And if we just get to the point where we believe that, like, you know, to begin with it, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send you a helper. That if we just get to the point where our Father is taking care of us, that he's done all these things for us, and that we just take him at his word in this area, like all areas, but the same thing. Believe that he's helping us and guiding us and leading us, and then just stay firm. Like we were saying last week, even if it looks like we've missed it three times, that's when we just still stay in faith and believe that God is giving us wisdom, that he's doing what he says he's going to do, because it says, if we ask him, ask of God, and it will be given to him, shall be given to him. It's a strong word. So let's go over to Philippians 4:6. Again, familiar scripture, but you know, the scriptures apply so many different ways. We can go back to the same scriptures and they apply in different areas, and they're just, the word can just be mined over and over and over again. Philippians 4:6 then. So he says, So we're talking in the context of wisdom, but he says, be anxious then for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So in this case, if we were talking about being led by God and we needed something and we needed wisdom, he says, be anxious for nothing. So number one, the situation, don't be anxious about it. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So if we need wisdom, we don't fret about it. We just say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Now, I could get upset. I could say, God, I don't know what to do. It doesn't look good. I don't have any clue what to do. And we could get ourselves all anxious about it. Or we could say, God, I don't know what to do here. Now, this isn't an uncommon thing because I'm not you. I'm not omniscient. I don't know everything. I'm a human. James said over there, we would fall into various trials. You said yourself in John 16:33 that we would have tribulation. This is common. This is going to happen. But you also said, if I do need wisdom, that I can come to you. So we just do what he said right here with prayer and supplication. We just come to him and let our requests be made known to him and say, Lord, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do here. But you've given me the Holy Spirit. You've given me a counselor that's greater than any counselor on the face of the earth. You've given me a helper that's greater than any helper. You've given me a standby, an advocate. And so I'm just trusting that he's leading me. He's with me. He knew all the situation that was coming before I ever got here. So he's got wisdom for me. So I just received that. Thank you for all the wisdom I need because you give liberally. And without reproach, you don't think I'm stupid for getting in this situation. You don't think I should know better by now. You just say, it's yours, and you will give it to me. And then, in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard your hearts. And in this process, I've seen this many times, just in the area of being led in wisdom, this is exactly how it works. We go to God. If we're tempted to get into turmoil about what to do, if we'll just go back to God. See, the devil wants to get us away from God. He wants to push us away. He wants us to think somehow God is not coming through for us, or somehow God is not helping us, or God isn't true to his word. But if we'll just stand on his word and say, look, you said that I need wisdom. I don't know how many times I've done this at work and being an engineer, and I don't know what the heck the problem is. I have a deadline. I don't know what's going on, but just go to God and say, Lord, I need wisdom. Show me how to do this. And then just act like I have it and go forward and expect that he's leading me. When I have ideas come, that he's guiding me. If I need to pray in tongues, I pray in tongues and spend time just praying in tongues, you know, and stuff that comes out. Then you have thoughts, directions, whatever, whatever we need to do. But if we'll go, it says then that the peace of God will guard our hearts. And so as we go on, say, we just go with peace then, like we've talked about. So when we're believing God for wisdom, we say, well, where's peace? And we just are looking for peace. It may seem like there's no peace. It's just all just jagged. Well, there's peace in there. It's a storm. It looks like there's something going on. But there's peace if we'll just get back and be with God. There's something. It may be that we've gotten ourselves confused somehow or something is churning over here. But if we'll just look to him, there's peace, and we'll just follow the peace. He'll lead us out. It's just like when the disciples were in that storm and, you know, Jesus was sleeping. But he said, you know, they came and they were all like this. What are we going to do here? And you're sleeping. What is going on? What is going on? We don't know what to do here. This looks like we're going to die. And Jesus just got up and showed the way and said, peace. And he showed the way to be still. And that's what, you know, in our lives, when we have something, because things can happen, we don't know what to do. But we know we have this greater one inside of us and he's got a solution. Before we were ever here, he had a solution. He never gets cornered. He never gets fooled into being, you know, in on our behalf. And so that, well, geez, this guy, he's really in a corner. Let's let him go and go back over here. It's never like that. He's always got an escape path, like what we were talking about last week. So we have, if we'll just follow peace, then he'll lead us, right? Right along something that looks, maybe we didn't see it at all. Maybe it's something we had overlooked. Maybe it's something we had overwritten. Doesn't matter. At this point, he'll lead us right out. And if we'll just let the peace of God guard our hearts and guard our minds. that even when stuff is like this, that we just let the peace of God guard it. And there is a peace that in the midst of a storm or something that we don't know, you know, when we need wisdom, God will lead us and guide us and help us and lead us to where we need to be. Now let's turn to Colossians 3:15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." And then he goes on, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." But he says in back in 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called one body, and be thankful." Let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God rule. Just whenever you're going about your life, and he's talking about in the context of love and being and walking in forgiveness and then letting the word of God dwell in you richly. But the principle is still the same. If we'll just let the peace of God rule in our hearts. That wherever we go, that if we're just letting the peace of God, if we get out of peace, because if we're honest, certain things in our life, I mean, we get in a fight like he's talking about being, you know, walking in love. When we get in a fight with somebody or get out agitated in every way, we have to get away from the peace of God because that's not where God's at. He's not leading us to do that. We just let our flesh do it or whatever. So if we'll just let that peace of God rule, whenever we get out of peace, like somebody said like that, if you get out of peace, if you're unpeaceful and you're getting kind of agitated, you're off. Because God isn't, and it's God is not leading us down a path that's going to get us agitated. Things will try to get us agitated. Circumstances will try to get us agitated. But if you're in a if we're in a situation where we're totally upset with somebody and we think they're the problem, that's a good indication that we're off somehow. It doesn't mean they're not, that something else isn't going on with somebody. But as Christians, and when we know that we have the greater one in us, when we know we have this counselor in us, we have at our disposal all this counsel of God, all the wisdom of God in any situation, then truly, if we have that in forefront in our understanding, I don't care who's coming against us or what situation's going on or what the circumstances look like, we can still be at peace. So if we let ourselves get out of peace to where we're just getting agitated and we're trying to do something, that's a sure sign there may be something that needs to be dealt with, but the place we want to be is centered up right in God's peace so that we can hear clearly and be led by Him and not by our flesh, our emotions, or something that we want to do. And so if we'll just get back to being in peace, and so it goes with Philippians, if there's things that we do need to pray about in a situation, we just ask God to show us, guide us, but I'm going to get back and center up and be in peace and let that rule in my heart. Let the peace of God guard my minds and my mind and my heart and stay right here and you show me what to do. If that means that I change, fine. If that means that you show me I'm wrong, the other guy's right, fine. What I don't want to do is just get out so what, you know, I'm acting outside what you want me to do. Because if we'll stick with that, God will lead us and show us and guide us because he's there. He'll say, no, this is the best way. Go right over here. Turn here. Go here. Do this. Do that. And the counselor will show up strong on our behalf and show us exactly in a situation what needs to be done. If we'll just humble ourselves and go with peace and go with him. Amen.